If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio, and we got our brooms out here at WGN Radio. The Blackhawks, a second straight 3-2 overtime win over the Utah Mammoth, and they sweep the season series 4-0 against their divisional foes. Let's head right back to Delta Center and bring in Steve Conroy. Steve, do you have your broom out there? Oh, did you bring a broom or what? Or did, you know, maybe John?
That's one thing I don't pack on the road. I pack plenty of underwear. I don't bring a broom with me, so no. But yeah, that's an impressive sweep, and against a team that's in the playoffs and, you know, really fighting for more points, they'd like to climb. They got their first wild card spot. So yeah, good for the Blackhawks. This was a gutty, gritty win.
Steve, it felt like nothing happened in that second period, and then everything happened in the third period. What did you see from the third period, and obviously that carried into overtime?
Well, you know, I got to give Utah credit. They really tilted the ice in the third period. I think they had 13 shots, and they had 13 shots in the first two periods. You're right. Up to that point, it was a low-event game, but then all of a sudden, they started attacking with a little more speed. You know, I really noticed Keller out there. I noticed Cooley out there. Didn't notice Gunther as much, but they were attacking with speed. They controlled the puck inside of Chicago's zone. But, you know, Spencer Knight, we've seen it all year long. They were bending. They didn't break. He made the big save at the big time. And, you know, I'm just really happy for Alex Vlasic, who the last time we were here maybe played the best game I've ever seen him play. Tonight he turned one over, unfortunately, late in the third that ended up in the back of the net. But he was a huge part of the overtime game-winning goal. So I think it's so important for young players to remember, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, just don't make a lot of them. And he was out there to make up for it and assisted on the game-winning goal.
Hawks are quietly now, quietly, Steve, are 3-1-2 in their last six games. So they have points in five of their last six. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much it's coinciding with the emergence of Frank Nazar again. That's looking like the Frank Nazar that we saw in the first month and a half of the season. He's now on a five-game point streak, another multi-point performance tonight with a goal and an assist. And it kind of helps alleviate some of the pressure from a guy like Connor Bedard, where the Hawks did have that 1-2 punch earlier in the season. How much do you think 91 kind of emerging back into being number 91 has really helped elevate this group over the last six games?
I think it's helped an awful lot. And I'm going to spread out maybe a little bit of the praise. I think at the back end, Sam Rinzell's playing a lot better. I mean, he had some turnovers in tonight's game, but, you know, hockey's a game of mistakes. I think Levshinov's been playing better, too. But you're right. Frank Nazar's feeling it right now, and you can just tell he's excited playing hockey. He wants the puck. He wants to be a difference maker. I'll give you one more angle, Charlie, and I think you might agree with me. During the Olympic break, Jeff Blashill decided to change his defensive zone coverage just a little bit. And there's a lot more pressure. It's more like their penalty kill. There's a lot more pressure in the defensive zone. And when they lose the pressure, they get back to the house. They call it five on the dice. Literally the five dots on a dice in front of the net. Since that time, they have really outchanced the opposition an awful lot. And so I'll go back to just the slight tweak in the defensive zone coverage. And they spent a lot of time on it during that mini training camp coming out of the Olympic break. I think it's really helped their overall play. It's helped them offensively. They're spending a little less time in their own zone. I mean, the third period, aside from this one, I think that's been a big part of the recent success for the Blackhawks.
I don't disagree with that. And even looking at some of the numbers coming out of the Olympic break, like the Hawks haven't really given up much defensively as far as just in the goal department as well. I mean, they gave up six goals against the Vancouver Canucks, which obviously was not great, but that was the first game out of the trade deadline where they traded Dickinson, Murphy, and then Nick Foligno. And it was almost like an emotional deflating day overall. So I kind of just throw that into the can. But if you eliminate that game, it feels like the Hawks have been right there. I think it got even mentioned on the broadcast. Rick Ball said the Hawks have led have led at some point in eight consecutive games. Like, I just feel like they're in games, and some of those, like, five consecutive losses, they ended up squandering the lead. But I don't disagree. Like, I feel like they're doing it in a little bit of different ways, and I would throw in maybe the little system tweak defensively as part of it as well.
Yeah, well, when you know how we have our little powwow with Jeff Blashill after he talks to the media, and he's so generous with his time to us, and it just helps our broadcast immensely. He said that the grade A chances since the Olympic break, they've had six or less from the other team, six or less in each of those games. He said the only time we've been outchanced was the Dallas game. He didn't even mention the Vancouver game. He said the Dallas game was really the only game that we've been outchanced. So, and he says a great A chance is, you know, when the other team has a 15% chance of scoring. They have their own metrics, but I'm going to believe him at his word. So, you know, giving me the fact that, and I didn't realize that, they had led in all eight games at some point, that's really impressive. I don't think it's any coincidence that they changed their defensive zone coverage a little bit, and I think it's really helped the team. I think it's helped the goaltenders, and it's maybe helped the defensemen a little bit too. It just seems like they don't maybe have quite as much responsibility in their own zone.
All right, how about the play of Connor Bedard? Obviously, he scores the overtime winner. He had a goal and an assist in this game. He had two assists in Monday's game, also had 11 shot attempts. I feel like every single game this season coming out of the Olympic break, Bedard has been very, very noticeable. I think the one game maybe he wasn't as noticeable was the Dallas game last Sunday. But even then, he scored a goal that tied the game up late in regulation. What did you see from Connor tonight? And just overall, the last several games, it just feels like he's been buzzing out there. Like, he could have had 3 or 4 points at least on Monday.
Yeah, well, I just love the attitude. And you can see it in his eye. Like, I love our broadcast location here in Salt Lake. We're only about halfway up in the stands, so we're literally 25, 30 rows from ice level. You can see it in his eyes. And I don't know if they had it on TV, but after he made that beautiful pass to Bertuzzi on the power play goal, he looked and glared at somebody in the stands, and it lasted a good 15-20 seconds. So I think somebody was giving him a rough time in the stands. He was turning around to stick it to him, and he kept that gaze on him, like I said, for an extended period. He was everything you want your next captain to be, and I think he will be the next captain of this hockey team. He wears an A now. He led by example. He was hitting out there. He wasn't shying away from the physical stuff. He was mixing it up at times too. It's just everything you want to see from a young star, and I think he helped bring the best out of his team tonight, because when you see a guy who's, you know, 175, 180, 185 pounds maybe, going up against guys who are 210, 215 pounds, it kind of makes you play a little bigger, and I think that's the kind of effect he had on his team tonight, and plus the fact that he's just so gifted. When he has the puck, I can't even see the open guy from here, and he sees the open man on the ice. He is truly a special player.
So, Steve, you mentioned the fan stare down after the Bedard setting up Tyler Bertuzzi. So we have some great beat writers here in Chicago, right? Mark, yeah. Lazarus of the Athletic is there in Utah, and apparently he tracked down the fan that Connor Bedard stared down, and the fan told him, "I kind of deserved it." And so I guess he's going to have some sort of story later on, but he said he kind of teased it. But after the overtime winner, I don't know if you caught this, he stared down another fan and was jawing at some. So I don't know what happened to that fan, but Connor's going back and forth with the Utah fans. I think he was just feeling himself tonight.
Oh, that's great. He's got a bone to pick with about 15,000 fans here in at the Delta Center. That's great, though. I mean, you know, that sometimes brings out the best in players is to be, you know, hated. And it's not because he's a dirty player. It's because he's so talented. And you know, fans are jealous. And it doesn't surprise me Laz found that fan in the stands, because literally the glare was for 15 seconds. And then the guy got up and started pointing. Like, I don't know what he was pointing about, because, you know, we had just scored. So it was easy for Laz to find the guy. Can't wait to read the article. But that's the kind of competitor that Connor Bedard is. He just loves the game, and he loves to compete. And if, you know, there's a score involved, he's all over it. And he was a big part of the score tonight.
Last one for you. It feels like these Chicago-Utah games have gotten chippy. Obviously, when you play each other three times in a 12-day stretch, it's kind of going to feel like a mini playoff series where you do kind of just have that. You remember what the carryover was from the previous game, and Utah has a lot of enforcers on their team with, you know, Jack McBain and Michael Carconi and Lawson Krause.
Lawson Krause, yeah. Yeah,
like they have a bunch of guys that like to mix it up. Was that just the fact that, one, these guys are obviously in division rivals, but two, when you play three times out of 12 days, you're just going to naturally have that kind of like an inherent physicality.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And listen, they've got a lot of young and up and coming stars on this Utah team. So I think they fancy themselves as, you know, a team that can possibly do some damage in the playoffs. But like you said, three games in the last 12 days. The last couple of games have been very physical. You know, I'm just looking at the numbers now. McBain had 10 hits. Carconi had 8. Krause, the three guys you mentioned, 5. So that's 23 hits for those guys right there. I wasn't happy about it, and I just looked at the Blackhawks bench hoping that somebody would say something. But I think ultimately the best thing you can do is just win the hockey game, point at the scoreboard after a night like that, and say, hey, guys, suck on that. So, yeah, that's what you do when you're trying to, you know, when you're being kind of bullied by the other team. If you can win that hockey game, that's the best retribution right there.
All right, Steve, great stuff. Next stop is Vegas. Make sure that John behaves, because I know he gets rowdy on the strip. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know John. Yeah, I'll take care of him. I'll be his winger.
All right, perfect. Troy usually would definitely need a winger. I remember I was in Vegas with him last year, and Troy, I think he went out later than I did. So have a beverage for Troy. There we go.
Yeah, we certainly will. We'll raise one for him.
All right, love it. Great stuff, Steve. We'll talk on Saturday.
All right, Charlie. Thanks. You too.
All right, we're waiting for some sound to come in from the Blackhawks locker room, but I imagine Connor Bedard will be one of the players that speaks to the media, and he'll talk about the season series sweep of the Utah Mammoth Hawks. 4-0 against Utah this season. I think Utah is going to be they're not going to be thrilled when they see Chicago again next year, or they will be trying to revenge it. So we'll see what some of the guys had to say. Hopefully, when we got some sound rolling in, when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Gunther now at the line. Hits Schmaltz with a pass down the right wing of the Hawk zone. He cuts in front of the net. Deekson lost the puck. And Bedard now back the other way. Off the handoff from Grizzlet over the Utah line. Right point drops it off. Lardis to Vlasic. High slot. Fires off the post. Rebound. Score! Connor Bedard right there to poke it home. And the Blackhawks beat the Utah Mammoth for the second straight time in overtime. Final score, the Hawks 3 and the Mammoth 2. And the Hawks have swept the Mammoth in the season series, winning all 4 games. What a win.
What a win is right. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Connor Bedard scoring the overtime winner against the Utah Mammoth. Also adding an assist in this game. Finished with 7 shot attempts, 2 of them on net. We know the last game on Monday at the United Center, Connor Bedard had 11 shot attempts. The next closest Blackhawk had 5 shot attempts. So Connor Bedard was far and away the best player. I felt on Monday didn't necessarily get rewarded even more than he already did. He had 2 assists in the game, but I thought he was excellent in that game. And then he follows that up tonight with a goal and an assist. And might as well, let's just get to tonight's ice time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Connor Bedard that led the way for the Blackhawks with 23 minutes and 28 seconds of ice time. Looking at the next closest, it looked like it was Wyatt Kaiser at 22:35. Kaiser did not return to this game. He got injured in like the last minute and a half for the Blackhawks in the third period. Didn't play in regulation. Looked like he was favoring his shoulder after taking a big hit. So hopefully it's nothing serious there. I'm imagine we'll hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill in a little bit, where he can provide an injury update. But yeah, Connor Bedard leading the way for the Blackhawks in the ice time department with north of 23 minutes of ice time. He actually did an interview with CHSN's Rick Ball and Darren Pang afterwards, and he was still huffing and puffing during the interview because I don't know how long that overtime shift lasted, but he was out there for a while and was able to find the back of the net. So let's hear what the overtime winner had to say after this game.
A little bit, maybe. Just gets you going a bit. So I don't know. It's fun. It's fun playing on the road, and especially when you win, it's pretty glad. So it's fun.
You guys have at least a point now in five of the last six games, 4-0 against the Mammoth this year. How good are you feeling kind of as you try to get this finishing kick here?
Yeah, I think every game we play these guys is pretty intense and pretty good hockey, so it feels great to beat them every time. You know, it's a division rival, and, you know, we don't like them, they don't like us, so it's a good feeling, but we just got to kind of keep it rolling and just keep fighting.
Kind of an interesting experience to play them three times in 2 weeks and get a little bit of a taste of what a series would be like.
Yeah, it was kind of weird scheduling, but you know, it was fun. You know, like I said, I think every game ramped up a little bit, and you know, I think you could tell kind of whenever we played them last, I don't know, Monday, Sunday, that you know, it was going to be, you know, intense today, and that's fun hockey, so it's going to make us better for sure.
Is Uyghur somebody you know previously, or just getting into a little bit today?
Not overly, really. I've met him at a couple Hockey Canada event things, but I didn't even know if we were getting into it, but I feel like we were just kind of... He said I high-sticked him, so I didn't think I did, but...
You were wrestling with him at the net for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was just tired, and I didn't want to beat me up yet, so just trying to work smart, not hard, you know.
What did you see on that OT play?
Yeah, I mean, we were out there for a while. Obviously wanted to change, and but then I think Schmaltz is in the corner there, so we just had a pretty clear through on two, so just try to make a play and, you know, get some net. Lucky the puck was kind of sitting there, and the goalie didn't really know where it was, so just kind of forced it bounce.
Frank has another multi-point game. That's 8 points in five games. Have you seen his confidence surging again lately?
Yeah, I mean, even games he wasn't getting points, he was playing great. I think he was a little snake bitten for sure, and, you know, he's so important to our team, and, you know, such a great player, and obviously nice to see him be get rewarded, and you know, he's going to keep doing that. He's, you know, someone that's always around it, always around the net, and making plays. So you know, he's fun to watch, and means so much to our group.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard, who scored the overtime winner for Chicago in this game. I just double checked how long that shift lasted in overtime, 1:33, and that was prior to also having a shift of 54 seconds. Earlier in overtime, so rightfully so, Connor Bedard was a little bit tired. Well, the guy he set up in the first goal for Chicago was on the power play. It was a 4-on-3 advantage. It was Tyler Bertuzzi scoring his 28th goal of the season. Let's hear what Bertuzzi had to say after this 3-2 OT win.
Tyler, it's 4-0 against Utah this year. What's been working so well against these guys?
I'm not sure. We just, the last few games we played two solid games. Last game, our first wasn't that good, but then we turned it on for the last 40. And tonight, I thought it was a pretty good game overall, all the way through.
For you to be wearing the A now, what does that mean to you? And I guess what have you done to try to take on that responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's an honor to wear a letter in any organization. You know, I'm not going to be like the loudest guy in the room, but I just try to lead on the ice and do it the right way and kind of lead by example on the ice.
When you see Connor out there, you know, making plays like on your goal, scoring a game winner, going after fans, how much fun is that to see?
Yeah, he was great tonight. We were laughing. We haven't had a backdoor tap in a while, so we were due.
Do you notice him? You know, he's staring down fans after these goals.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to go celebrate with him, and I see him looking in the crowd.
This is, I think, at least a point in five of the last six games. You guys feel like you're building towards something here?
Yeah, I think everyone's digging in. You know, obviously guys have bigger roles now, and they're jumping into spots that they haven't been in before, and they're doing great. All the young guys, and you know, I think the D-Corps done a really good job the last five games, just playing hard and you know, making good plays when I was on.
Seems like pretty much every game since the Olympics has been close. Mm-hmm. Is that not only just to get points, but also just valuable experience for the young guys to be in all these high-intensity games?
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially getting points and getting wins, too. You know, I don't know how many games we have left, but we have a lot of learning to still do, and these games are important for us down the stretch here to learn as a group and keep trying to get wins.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi. Also picked up an assist in this game and three shots on goal, which was tied for the Blackhawks lead with Matt Grizzlick and Frank Nazar. And yeah, Tyler Bertuzzi, he's not one of those guys that is going to be a rah-rah someone in the locker room. I mean, there might be times because he is certainly a character and he's kind of always the life of the room, but he more so leads by example. And so Connor Bedard and Tyler Bertuzzi will be the two players that are wearing A's for the rest of the season. But no surprise that he was tabbed as one of the leaders on this team after the Blackhawks traded Nick Foligno, Jason Dickinson, and Connor Murphy. Bertuzzi steps into that role, and I think he's been doing a pretty decent job. All right, how about the Blackhawks starting goaltender in this game, Spencer Knight, who missed the last three games because of an illness. Good to see him back between the pipes. He picks up his first win post-Olympic break, so that had to feel good. Let's see what Knight had to say after this game.
So that's a point, at least a point now in five of the last six games. You feel like you're building towards something good here?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously trade deadline. Obviously, it sucks to lose a lot of guys, big pieces of your team, but also big pieces in the locker room and just great humans. But I think a lot of guys are coming in and stepping up and filling roles, which is good. And you know, this time of year, obviously, you just got to keep battling, right? And you know, just keep your head down and work. So that's what I try to do.
How did you feel tonight coming back from illness?
I felt good. You're kind of knocked out for 3 days, like no moving, no eating. But then you kind of were able to build it back. And so I thought it was pretty good just to get back into your feet wet.
Sounds like it was pretty bad then.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, like high fever. And I came to the rink on Friday, actually. It's like, it usually hits like halfway, at lunchtime, so morning was okay, but then it just broke down. I couldn't even move. So it is what it is. But the trainer's been great, super helpful, and so I can't thank them enough for just what they do. So
Blatchley keeps talking about how these last 17-18 games are important because it sets the tone for next year. Mm-hmm. Do some developing now. How locked in do you guys feel?
I always try to. I don't know. For me, I'm not someone that really pays attention to standings and stats or whatever. And I just think, it didn't matter if we were, hunting down a playoff spot or we're out of it or we're in playoffs. I would probably be approaching the games and everything the same. So that's just the way I am. I think it keeps me competitive within myself and not with everyone and all the outside noise.
All right, that was Blackhawks goaltender Spencer Knight picking up a victory in this game. He stopped 29 of 31 shots in this victory for Chicago, and great to see him back between the pipes. I didn't realize how tough the illness got, but obviously it knocked him out for several days, and great to see him back between the pipes for the Blackhawks. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the postgame presser for Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Gunther crossing the hot blue line to Hayden. He overskates the puck near the right point. Picked off by Nazar. Breaking back through center over the Utah line. Right wing to Bertuzzi. Right circle. Shoots. Oh, fought off. Rebound. Scores! Frank Nazar beside the Utah net. Vemelka made the initial save, but the puck rolled through his equipment and laid in the crease. Nazar looped in behind the Utah net, came out the far side and found himself a rebound and poked it home. 2-1 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks take down the Utah Mammoth 3-2 in overtime. That Frank Nazar goal was set up by Teuvo Teravainen, who perhaps had one of the assists of the year by kicking it over to number 91, who slammed it in for the Blackhawks. I think Teravainen maybe is getting ready for the World Cup this summer. But what an assist by number 86 for Chicago. Let's hear what the Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say following his team's performance after this win.
That's at least a point in 5 out of 6 here. You feel like you're building towards something?
Yeah, I do. But I felt that, honestly, coming out of the break, I thought we probably deserved better maybe in Nashville, maybe in Winnipeg, and you know, so I thought our game was pretty solid during that, and it's kind of continued. You know, probably gave up a little bit more tonight, so we just have to look at that. I thought, you know, we got a little bit chaotic, at times turned too many pucks over. But with that said, we also, you know, we're down a goal going in the third, and we find a way to ultimately come out with a win. I know we got the lead and gave it back up, but we still came out with a win. So these are all, as we talked about earlier, really important growing moments for our players, and you know, that's a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, so they're digging in, and I thought we dug in.
Connor's out there, he's scrapping with Uyghur, he's delivering hits, he's taunting fans. You like seeing a feisty Bedard?
I do. He's got what all the great players have, and that's a high level of compete. And you know, we've seen it different times this year, and good for him. He's a very competitive person.
To sweep the Mammoth this year in three times in 2 weeks, is that kind of valuable experience for the young guys of what a series can be like, where it ramps up as it goes?
Maybe. I don't know that it's quite to that intensity level that you see, you know, in the playoffs. But I think the fact that we played them, you know, three times this short a period, at least gives you a feel what it's like to kind of, both from a playing standpoint, from kind of a game planning standpoint, things like that. So especially for us, it was back-to-back games against them. It wasn't for them, but for us it was. So, you know, they see what the pre-scouts kind of look like, stuff like that. So it's a decent look at it. I wouldn't call it, you know, a crazy valuable that way, but yeah, the most important thing is just continue to grow our game.
What are you seeing from Nazar lately, another 2 points?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think his play has warranted the opportunities he's getting, and I think he's skated hard. I think he's won more puck battles. You know, the big thing for him is just making sure he has the puck a lot, and when he has it, to skate with it. How do you have the puck? You win puck battles, and then you don't give it away, and then when you have it, you got to attack with it. And he's shown more of that burst with skating with the puck and being a weapon with his speed.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. We got to go to a break here, but really quick, he did provide an update on Wyatt Kaiser, who said he's not sure if he's going to be available to play on Saturday against the Vegas Golden Knights, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, given how it looked. But yeah, that's the latest on Wyatt. I'm sure we'll know more on Saturday. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Hawks take down the Utah Mammoth 3-2 in overtime. Let's wrap up the show with a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players. Sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. How about Blackhawks prospect Jack Pridham, who's on a 9-game point streak in the OHL. He's now up to second in the OHL with 42 goals. Merrick Van Acker is first with 43. So two Hawks prospects, 1 and 2. It's going to be the second straight season a Blackhawks prospect leads the OHL in goals. Nick Lardis, of course, doing so last year with 71. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to wrap up their mini 2-game road trip on Saturday against the Vegas Golden Knights, 9 o'clock puck drop, 8:30 pregame show. The Vegas Golden Knights have just one win entering tonight against a playoff team since December 20th. That's a 4-month stretch where they have just one team against a playoff team. They are leading 5-2 right now late in the third period against Pittsburgh, so it's probably going to improve to 2. But there's something a little bit off with the Vegas Golden Knights. Mark Stone did return to the lineup tonight for Vegas, their captain, so he'll be ready to go on Saturday. But let's see if the Blackhawks can make it 3 wins in a row on Saturday against Las Vegas. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Tony DeNardis, and our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-2 OT win over Utah. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.